Welcome back to Intrepid Lifestyle. I'm your host, Joe Lavelle, and I'm really looking forward to our conversation with another thought leader in our series about internet security and safety. We're going to get right to it today. We're joined by Kieron Bradley, CTO of Adaptive Mobile. Kieron, welcome to the show.
Hey, Joe. Thank you very much for the invite. Really looking forward to our discussions.
Well, thanks for making the time to be with us today. Before we start a discussion, could you take a few minutes and tell the audience about you and your background?
Sure. So my name is Kieron Bradley. I'm Chief Technology Officer with a company called Adaptive Mobile. We are a carrier network security. So we sit in the heart of carrier networks and we protect all their key services for all their customers. So be that sort of SMS or texting, be it email, data services or voice. And a typical use of our technology would be protecting young children from inappropriate content. So, you know, when a parent buys the first smartphone for a child, they want to make sure that they are only talking to the people that they want to, that they're not going to websites that are inappropriate. And really, you just want to give those parents some peace of mind that there are tools available to help them bringing up young adults. Because with the explosion of the internet and just the explosions of communications, it can be a bit daunting when you realize what access is available via a smartphone in a child's pocket.
And how did y'all get started? What created the idea for Adaptive Mobile?
So Adaptive Mobile has been around for about over 12 years. Globally, we protect about 1.5 billion people every day. We're not a consumer brand. We work with the carriers to help them protect their customers. So you won't necessarily have heard of us. Now, we're protecting about 1 in 5 in the world. We have a lot of customers in North America. So some of your listeners will no doubt actually be being protected by our security every day. But we're most successful when we're invisible because we want to stop people from seeing the bad stuff before it ever hits their phone or stop them from going somewhere that's inappropriate. You know, we want to make sure that you don't download anything onto your phone that could either compromise the phone itself or, just as importantly, the data on the phone. It came about because some of our founders, back in 2004, we just realized that phones were only going to get more and more powerful. And we realized that they weren't necessarily going to be able to run the same endpoint protection on the phone as you can on a laptop or a typical PC or Mac, though these days they are getting pretty powerful. But we realized that there was going to be an equal demand for protecting those devices or any devices connected to a network, be that a sort of a Wi-Fi network, a wireless network, or just your regular cable network.
Outstanding. Kieron, what are some of the new trends or techniques that you're seeing being used by predators and those trying to harm our children?
It's kind of hard to keep up with all of them because there's constantly new services coming about. Typically what we see is as soon as a service, be it a new app or a new website or something that is of interest to kids and it gets a big enough population of users on it, then the bad guys start showing up. The techniques don't really change that much. Ultimately, they're trying to have a conversation with someone that they really shouldn't be, or they'll have a conversation where the context isn't quite right for that age group.
We know that you're providing protection and tools. Do you have any recommendations for what kind of tools parents can use on their side of the network to protect their kids?
Yeah, excellent question. So one of the things we constantly get asked about is what technology can I do? What technology will help me keep my children safe? It may seem counterintuitive, but one of the first things we always say is actually going, it's not really a technology issue. You need to be able to equip your children for dealing with a modern world. And tools will help and technology will help. But the best thing you can do is actually sit down with your children and explain to them and have an open conversation with them about there are people out there who may not have your best interests in heart. They may not be who they are. They may not be the same age as you. They may ask you questions that are uncomfortable. And one of the first things we say to people is there's no silver bullet to stop this. For example, if I really lock down my home network, so my children are 10, 8, and 5, so I'm right in the age group for this, I can really lock down my home network. So I know every single device that's on it. I can see all the websites it's going to. I can block access to all sorts of apps if I want. But ultimately, that doesn't help them when they walk down the street into their friend's house who may not have the same level of sophistication or technological controls. And that's why with my children and from talking to a lot of experts who've done research on the academic fields of abuse and online bullying, they said some of the best things you can do is actually just talk to your children and say, you know, for example, I am going to take your phone at a random time during the day or during the week, and we're going to sit down, we're going to open up your phone, and we're going to have a look at what you've been doing. We're going to see who you've been calling, who you've been talking, the context of what you've been going, been looking at the websites you've been going to, but not in a provocative way. It's not meant to be Big Brother. It's more meant to be about, let's have an open discussion about what you're doing and what you're saying and what people are saying to you. Because all of a sudden you might find someone's going to a certain website and you're going to go, okay, well, why did you go there? What was the interest of there? There's probably some reason. Was it idle curiosity? Did you hear something from one of your friends? Did you hear something in school? Those are the things that I think really can help. I mean, absolutely, if you want to start looking at the technology, most of the carriers will have, if we're just looking on the cellular side, most of the carriers will have abilities for you to restrict access to certain websites. It may be available for free, or it may be available as a small add-on to your family plan, so that's worth checking out. There's also similar technology for if you want to restrict phone calls to certain numbers. Again, that should be available in most family plans, but you can always check with your service provider on that. On the PC and Macs, if you just Google it, you see there are lots of people offering parental controls. It'd only be fair for me to pick out one or two. I would really just say spend some time investigating. But the best advice you can do is sit down with your children and give them some basic ground rules, like don't give out your phone number, don't give out your email address, don't give out what school you go to, don't give out your home address, unless it's someone that you actually know in the physical world. So if it's your own friends from school, great. Your own friends from your neighborhood, that's fine. If it's someone brand new, you don't know them, best probably not to engage. Just step away. And if it makes you feel uncomfortable, go and have a discussion with your parents about it.
Great advice. Thank you for that, Kieran. One of the things that's happening in our house, and I have a 10-year-old boy, is this obsession with the internet-connected gaming systems. We have an Xbox 360, and I'm uncomfortable, one, with my ability to do any monitoring on that, and two, with the lack of knowledge of other parents that these systems are connected to the internet, and they're probably more exposed with these systems than they are with their iPhones or their iPads. Do you have any advice regarding these internet-connected gaming systems?
It's a great issue that you've brought up, because I shouldn't be saying this, but Santa will be bringing an Xbox One S. So I'll be facing the same issue in a couple of weeks. That is one that kind of scares me, because the same degree of parental controls aren't necessarily available there. You can certainly look at the games that are being played by classification and by age, but that only gives you an indication. In a totally open game where any random person can join, then unfortunately I think our children are potentially going to be subject to abusive comments and text, but are things being written? And that's again why I come back to sort of like we need to be able to equip our children with the skill sets to survive, because it's the same if they go out in the street, they could meet someone who just starts saying horrible and nasty things to them. So it's not any different when you're on the internet. The one thing I know I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be sitting down, and any time my son asks me to say, I want to go play this game, and it's a wide open world, then I'm going to sit down and play it with him to understand exactly what's happening. And we may just have to have a discussion saying, look, that's not suitable. Now, some games you can have closed sessions just between friends. That one I'm more comfortable with, because I can see exactly who it was, and I'll be asking him who those users in that closed group are. And if it's not one of his top 10 best friends, we'll be having words as to what's going on.
Right. One of the things that's really popular with my 10-year-old right now is YouTube. And I'm kind of at wit's end, because in some ways, he's a very curious person, and he's trying to learn about things. And I go to YouTube to learn how to fix things, how to do all kinds of things. So I don't want to kill his quest for learning. But do you have any special advice regarding apps like YouTube that are very, very helpful in most ways, but they have back doors that can be dangerous?
Yeah, so YouTube for kids is a specific app that's kind of like a cut down and curated version of YouTube. So depending on the age of your children, that is definitely worth checking out. The other one then again is it's like at random times, go and see what your kids are on YouTube, because my son is a massive soccer fan and he's always going onto YouTube just to get clips from the latest game or a previous game. He's also massive. He goes in and watches people playing FIFA 17, which I always find strange that people sit down and just watch other people playing online games. But I know esports is just a massive growth area, and I guess I'm just a bit old for it, so I don't necessarily see the attraction. But again, it's like I sit down and watch some of these esports with them just to see, is the language appropriate? Is the commentary, is the content of the games that he's watching appropriate for his age? And it's always going to be attraction to try and play something that's meant to be a little older than you are. But the other thing is that kids age at different levels of maturity. So your 10-year-old might be better equipped to handle some stuff than mine. So again, people need to be, I think, cognizant of where their child is, because I can give out rules, but if the one thing I've discovered is just black and white just does not apply. You're always going to have a degree of flexibility.
Absolutely. And following up from that point, with your expertise in internet security and the fact that you're a father of a 10, 8, and 5-year-old, what are you thinking is the appropriate age for your kids to get a smartphone?
21.
I love it. I'll tell you, I went and saw a seminar on internet security given by the DA here in our state, and he said 18. So, and he came as far as saying, look, I'm not going to apologize to it. I'll probably have to get my kids therapy, but a smartphone is just an opening to a world that's just really hard to help your child navigate through.
Yeah, and I would completely agree with them. I mean, my kids keep asking me this, and the more they ask, the further I move it out. So, again, it comes down to practical steps. I mean, the recommended age, I think, for most people would tend to be 1-13, 12-13. There are often quite valid reasons why you need to give them earlier. Just for convenience, if you're running late picking someone up from soccer practice or from music practice, sometimes you just want to know that your child is always contactable in case there's an emergency. And in those cases, I know kids as young as 6 and 8 are getting them, but in those cases they tend to turn off a data plan, so they really are just a calling and texting device. And in some cases they can even disable texting. So it really depends on the age of the child. Again, I know some people who just say, we don't give data plans to our kids, to kind of limit what they can do to being on Wi-Fi. So then they're either in a friend's house or they're in their own house, to limit, again, what they can get up to. But it's a hard decision. I know I certainly don't want to give them to the kids until they're 12, 13. But at the moment, I've given them old phones with the SIM card removed. So they just use them almost like as glorified iPods. So they can stream Spotify, they stream YouTube on them, and they can still download and play some Android games or some iTunes games, but they're just not connected to a cellular network. So they kind of feel like they're older and cooler because they've got a phone, and it's a real phone. It's like an old hand-me-down for me, but it's not connected to a cellular network.
Right.
And we're thinking that's probably going to be a way that will bridge the gap, that we'll be able to teach them some forms of appropriate usage before we actually then go out and give them a smartphone that's fully connected to the cellular networks and can go unencumbered.
You've mentioned a rule or two that parents should follow. What are the top 3 or 4 rules that you would set in your house for device management, internet security?
Some really basic ones are, you don't talk to anyone you've never met before. You don't give out any personal information. If you go somewhere and it's just by accident and it feels you uncomfortable, come and talk to me about it. Because someone can click on a link, even on YouTube or something, they could be watching something perfectly innocent around kids that's appropriate to their art. They might click on something that goes to somewhere different. And that's where I want to know, and kind of I don't want the kids being frightened or drawn into something that's going to have repercussions down the line. And the last thing is I just do random spot checks. So I don't allow them to take their phones into anywhere where we can't see them. So they can't go into their bedroom at night with them. We confiscate them at 10 o'clock, lock them up. If they go onto the home computer, I make sure the office door stays open so that at any random point I can walk up behind them and just see what they're doing. Same, if they're sitting on their iPads or their tablets, they're in public areas within the house. So at any random time, myself or my wife could just walk up and look over their shoulder.
Perfect. Kieran, in addition to keeping up with the good information on your site, are there other resources out there that you can recommend for parents to monitor, to keep up with up-to-date information on internet security and safety?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are a couple. I mean, safekids.com is a pretty good one, but if you just Google Safe Kids Online, you'll see a whole plethora of options out there. And, you know, Google does a very good job at making sure the most relevant ones bubble up to the top. So I'd have a look through those. And the other thing is, usually most of your schools will have good resource material on about this because, you know, schools are taking cyberbullying so seriously. It's also worth checking in with your local school. Do they have any particular recommendations?
Good deal. I want to get everybody, well, they probably got their smartphones out taking notes or checking out these sites that Caron just recommended. Go to www.adaptivemobile.com. Bookmark their site and keep up regularly with the great thought leadership from Caron and his team. Caron, it was so great to have you on the show. Thanks for stopping by and sharing your wisdom with us.
Likewise, Joe. It's been an absolute pleasure. Hope to talk to you again.
Definitely. That wraps this broadcast. On behalf of our guest, Caron Bradley, I'm Joe Lavelle, and we'll see you soon on Intrepid Lifestyle.